Welcome to the Jukebox Podcast from WP Tavern. My name is Nathan Wrigley. Jukebox is a podcast which is dedicated to all things WordPress. The people, the events, the plugins, the blocks, the themes, and in this case, using AI everywhere at RT Camp. If you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that by searching for WP Tavern in your podcast player of choice, or by going to wptavern.com/feed/podcast, and you can copy that URL into most podcast players. If you have a topic that you'd like us to feature on the podcast, I'm keen to hear from you and hopefully get you or your idea featured on the show. Head to wptavern.com/contact/jukebox and use the form there. So on the podcast today, we have Rahul Bansal. Rahul has a long and accomplished history in the WordPress ecosystem. As the founder and CEO of RT Camp, a company he started 17 years ago, he's led his agency through the rapidly changing landscape of the web, helping enterprise clients such as Google, Fortune 500 companies, and major publishers solve complex problems with innovative WordPress-based solutions. RT Camp specializes in everything from large-scale website builds to more bespoke projects like Chrome extensions and SaaS connectors, and has grown to a team of hundreds over the years. Today's episode takes a deep dive into Rahul's recent talk at WordCamp Asia, which focused on what it will take to launch and scale an enterprise WordPress agency in the future. The conversation focused on real, hard-won lessons from RT Camp's journey, but also how rapidly the playbook is changing with advances in technology, particularly the explosion of AI tools and workflows. We discuss Rahul's philosophy around hiring, namely, building a team of people whose strengths complement each other, rather than just replicating your own skill set. This approach has allowed RT Camp to adapt to new challenges, fill gaps in expertise, and weather major industry changes. We then explore how this idea of complementary sets can also apply to choosing the right kinds of clients, those who value your expertise because they need what you offer, rather than simply hiring somebody who does what they already know. A theme that emerged in the conversation was specialization. Rahul outlines how, whereas RT Camp's earliest differentiator was a simple focus on WordPress, when virtually nobody else in India was, today's agencies must drill down much further to stand out, choosing niches within niches, such as WooCommerce or payment gateway integrations, and becoming recognized experts in those areas in order to thrive in a much more crowded field. Towards the end of the episode, the discussion turns to what might be the most significant topic for agencies today: artificial intelligence. Rahul describes how recent advances in AI have not only altered his agency's practices, but given them a firm mandate. If something in RT Camp can be done by AI, it will be. We talk about how AI is being leveraged inside RT Camp to automate and optimize everything, from sales and proposal writing to project management and even technical proof of concept builds. With a unified platform for all business processes, the agency is now able to significantly reduce costs, speed up delivery, and focus on higher value consulting and creativity, reshaping roles and team composition as a result. If you're interested in what it takes to stand out and succeed in the evolving world of enterprise WordPress agencies, how to confront uncertainty with both optimism and realism, and how AI can become not just a bolt-on feature, but the operational backbone of your business, this episode is for you. If you're interested in finding out more, you can find all of the links in the show notes by heading to wptavern.com/podcast, where you'll find all the other episodes as well. And so, without further delay, I bring you Rahul Bansal. I am joined on the podcast by Rahul Bansal. Hello, Rahul.
Hello, Nathan. Thanks for having me here.
You're very welcome. Rahul and I were both at WordCamp Asia, and that is going to be the main focus of the podcast today. We're going to be talking about agencies, growth in agencies, and then probably delving into AI a little bit at the end because of a recent announcement that came out of RT Camp, which is the company that Rahul founded many years ago. In order to I suppose, lend credibility to a conversation about agency work. Would you mind, Rahul, just introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do in WordPress, and maybe give us a few little interesting facts about RT Camp and what you do over there?
So I'm, as you mentioned, founder and CEO of RT Camp. We started this 17 years ago. We primarily help large enterprise clients. Sometimes we build websites for their marketing team, which is the most common use case of WordPress. But at the same time, we help large tech companies like Google communicate better with the WordPress ecosystem for their offering. Like sometimes we build products that includes neither theme, neither plugin, but something like Chrome extension for large companies. Sometimes we build like SaaS connectors for technology companies. Yeah, so we work with like a big company, usually Fortune 500. And the idea is to deliver something related to WordPress in one form or another form.
If you go to the RT Camp website, you can probably Google it, I would have imagined, then you'll be able to get some impression of what the company is like. I think last time we spoke, you were into the sort of 200 employees level. I'm not sure if those numbers have gone up or down or what have you, but you get an impression of how large it is. And one of the interesting things that I spotted during my time at WordCamp Asia was just how vibrant the community, the WordPress community is. So maybe we'll get into that a little bit as well. I'm going to concentrate to begin with on the presentation that you gave at WordCamp Asia. If you would like to see that, WordPress.tv will have a video. And if the video is already available, I will link to it in the show notes. But the presentation that Rahul gave was entitled How to Start an Enterprise WordPress Agency in 2026. And I'll just read the blurb that goes with it because it was fairly short and easy to manage. Building a WordPress agency business for large enterprises. In this talk, I'll share the story of how RT Camp grew from a small WordPress shop into a globally recognized enterprise agency, trusted by Fortune 500 companies and major publishers. If you're starting an agency today or looking to move upmarket in 2026, this session will give you a realistic roadmap building on real lessons from my personal experience. So I suppose what I'm going to do at the beginning, Rahul, if it's all right with you, is just ask you to tell us some of the bits and pieces that you mentioned during that, some of the advice that you would give an agency owner beginning in 2026.
Yeah, so firstly, I deviated a little bit from the blurb because when I applied this talk, I had a different frame of mind that, hey, I'm going to do this. And then as I was preparing the talk, and during those months, especially like last few months, the AI has reshaped everything. And then I realized that a lot of what worked for RT Camp won't work even for RT Camp if I start again today. Rather than making it as a nice story about what worked for us, I lean more towards practical advice. And that's where the essence remained. But I focus more on the 2026 part because when we started, it was 2006. The first time when I used WordPress was 2006. RT Camp started in 2009. 20 years is a big time. And then at the end of this 20th year, like we are going through this AI-led change. So a lot of things that worked for me won't work anymore. And that is how I restructured my talk to take enough from our history, enough from our learnings, what worked for us. The way we hire is very different. And after the talk, if that one line that stick with the audience that many people told me that the hire your complementary set was the most different idea. And it's timeless idea. It's relevant in AI world also. The idea was basically that we have this bias that when we try to scale, like basically when we go from freelancing to agency business, the idea of building a business, we try to find people like us. But my idea was that we should, initially especially, we should find people who are opposite of us. Like I was good at engineering, bad at sales. So my co-founder is sales heavy. My English was not good. His English was very polished. So I literally listed down my weakness and found people who were opposite of me. Even interesting part was that to the few initial hires, I asked the questions whose answer I had no idea whether they're saying right or wrong. So that was the most interesting idea. And I think that's still relevant today. I will do exactly the same thing. If I have to start building a new agency, I will be it in WordPress, be it in AI, any kind of business, I will. My initial few hires will all together will cover each other's weaknesses. it's at certain scale, then you need to replicate. Like you need 50 engineers, you need 20 React engineers, you need 5 people who can write same proposal. That comes much later. But starting is all about finding your complementary set. And this was inspired by a set theory from math class that I attended in when I was like some 12-year-old. And that stuck around me for the life. And that is what I put in this talk as the biggest lesson we learned. And that worked. The second most specific thing that I would say, practical advice, like that was more about hiring advice. But that is not only hiring advice. That is advice in many walks of life applicable. When you're looking for your client, you have to look for complementary set there as well. Because if you're trying to sell to agencies like yours, your margins get hit a lot. You need to find people who do not understand WordPress at all, because then that is why your expertise become more important and premium for them, because they need to depend on you. They value you more. You are not commoditized for them. So that hiring your complementary set works across the board. But then the most specific advice I gave that I didn't follow myself, I would say. Actually, there was nothing to follow that. When I started, WordPress was just a blogging platform. There was custom post type were not yet part of WordPress core. Everybody was just building blogs. We were playing around themes, and the race was to make our blog look unique. The metric usually was like traffic and how many email subscribers you got. So there was no niche to pick. Like that was the only thing WordPress was doing. And after Postgres, people started building a lot more than WordPress. Actually, people started pushing WordPress earlier. And as a result of that, WordPress created those APIs to make it easy to extend WordPress beyond blogging platform. But today in 2026, there is so many things is happening. And if you are starting new and you do what RTKM did on day one, like, hey, we are WordPress agency, that is not going to work. It worked for us 20 years back, because we were like probably only one in India at that time who said at that time that we will be only taking WordPress project, because India was a land of outsourcing. Like in supply chain, it was like it's like a Chinese manufacturer saying that, hey, we are only going to assemble if you are building for iPhone. So it's like, hey, we are only going to write PHP if it is going to end up as a WordPress theme or plugin. We are not going to do what was Cake PHP project at that time. We are not going to write custom PHP script. So in a way, we picked the whole WordPress as a niche among the larger set of choices available to us. But if you have larger set of choices for building an iOS company, like mobile app company, mobile app was big, because with the introduction of iPhone, there was a sudden shift and huge demand for iOS apps. And we haven't built one till 17 years. Like literally, we built our first iOS app, public iOS app, last month. That time we were like, we are going to only do WordPress. So now that advice translates into pick a niche within WordPress, because WordPress itself is the web now. That time WordPress was very small. Now you can choose e-commerce. Within e-commerce, then you can probably pick WooCommerce. Within WooCommerce, then probably you can pick, like, depending on your market, payment gateway specialization, ERP, back office specialization, subscription-based businesses. Start by picking a niche as small as possible. And then go bottoms up rather than starting with everything. So that was a key takeaway of my session. I would say that pick a niche, position yourself as an expert in the niche. Don't just say that, hey, we build WooCommerce store or we build WordPress site.
Okay, yeah, I've got all of that. So firstly, hiring, that's an interesting one. Hire people that are different from you. I was imagining when you were saying that, I wonder how long you can do that, because you can't, eventually you have a company of 100 people and all of them are not the same as you. Eventually it must be nice to find somebody who's a little bit like you. But then also you mentioned picking clients who will trust your expertise, I think is a good way of describing that, because they themselves are perhaps not expert within that WordPress platform. And now, of course, moving forwards, what worked for you in terms of being a WordPress agency 17 odd years ago, that was, as it turns out, really successful. But now you are going to be amongst tens of thousands in India alone, if all you say is that you're a WordPress agency. So you need to go a little bit more specialized and niche down. I wonder, Rahul, with the benefit of hindsight, it's always easy to look back and sort of see, for example, from my perspective, I see RTCAM as an entirely successful enterprise. You know, you began all those years ago and decisions were made and you grew and you grew and you grew and you grew. And now we are where you are now, committing a lot to WordPress with incredible growth and a really amazing agency on your hands. But I'm just wondering, looking back with the benefit of hindsight, were there any moments where you made some decisions where you were very nervous about how it was going to be? So, for example, one of those could be WordPress. There was no writing on the wall that said WordPress will be the successful CMS. That really could have gone either way. It could have been Drupal. It could have been something that some kid in a basement created. So I'm just wondering, are there moments when you look back and you think to yourself, gosh, I am so glad that we did that random choice than all the others that we could have made?
Yep. So it's a reality that one of the co-founders we lost within the first year of company formation was because I refused to add Joomla to our offering. And Joomla, I think, was market leader at that time when we started. So we were like more like the engineers, like some were good at sales, some were good at communication, but we were all from the same kind of school. Like, we didn't know if there was any survey existed. So we didn't back by any data. The only reason we chose to stay with WordPress or build this agency with WordPress because we were using WordPress. So RTCAM, for the most part, people miss that. So RTCAM was not started as an agency. RTCAM was basically a media company, a blog network. And that blog network was running on WordPress. As a technology bloggers, it's like, just imagine WP beginners, like that is a more relevant example. So by the way, we and WP beginner were operating at the same time. That's the power of niche. Like Sayed chose to focus on WordPress and see where he went. And my technical blog was everything, like from iPhone to Windows operating system to Mac OS update to web APIs to HTTP to whatever. Like it was a larger technology blog. So we were more like a stripped down version of TechCrunch rather than picking a niche. And Sayed picked this WordPress as a niche. Both were contemporaries in that same era. Now just imagine Sayed in those days started an agency. So we were using WordPress. We needed to stand out because social network or blogging or web was still a fancy place. Like minimalism wasn't the trend. It was how much you can push, like how you can make your website look different without using Flash. And that was the coolest thing. Like how much you can push jQuery, how advanced CSS you can write. So all those things led to we customizing our WordPress a lot. Another thing that worked in our part was our blog was one of the biggest in India. Globally also, it had a good traffic. In fact, it had so much traffic that one of the most Google keyword in my name was Rahul Bansal. How much money this guy make? Like that was the first question I used to get asked because traffic was insane. We used to get a lot of traffic. That led us to writing nice WordPress code in early days, like especially when I was freelancer, I had to write amazing WordPress code that will scale and host it in a way that it will also scale. So not only WordPress, we choose Nginx before it become a norm. Like before there was anybody started any WordPress managed hosting company, we managed to scale WordPress at a very high level. And so now we are this famous blog running on WordPress, handling so much traffic on Linode's $10 something plan, customizing it. So we got this natural market. We got initial customers who are technically our competitors, like other tech bloggers. It's like TechCrunch hiring Mashable to customize their blog. So something like, because Mashable has a tech team. So that was the early story of RTCAM. And then we realized that we are making more money and faster money via customizing WordPress. So we started cutting down on our editorial. And then slowly, like the business has shifted from being a blogging agency to WordPress custom development agency. That's why we chose WordPress. And that has been principle since then. Like we only sell what we use. That was the reason we didn't. So it wasn't any ideological decision. So the ideology is at open source level. So RTCAM is committed to providing open source solution to its client from day one. Joomla ticked that box, but Joomla didn't tick the box that we use Joomla. We don't use Joomla. There was no reason for us to have our blog running on WordPress and website running on Joomla. And that's why we sticked around WordPress when there was no data, no trend. And I think in hindsight, it was just luck. I would say, like, it could have backfired.
Okay, I really like this story. Firstly, I like the fact that you're identifying luck as a component, because I think too often when you listen to people who have had success, they sort of chart this narrative of how brilliant the decisions were along the journey and how impeccable, you know, we did this and then we did this and then we did this and then we did this, but never a nod to luck. And of course, with the benefit of hindsight, we did this, we did this, we did this, does lead to where you are now. But I really enjoy it when founders and people have that confession in them. Yeah, there was a bit of luck. But also, and we'll get onto this in a minute, because a big part of what you're about to do or have recently done with your business kind of leans into what you've just been saying. It sounds like you were led by what was in front of you, if you know what I mean. It doesn't sound like there was a great big, okay, by 2016 or 2026, we want to be here. It was more like, okay, this is where we're at now. These are the things that are coming to us. Okay, looks like WordPress, not only are we using it, but it looks like people want us to help them to use it. Well, let's go there then. Let's put the blogging to one side and let's become more of a, I don't know, a technical helper for you and your website. So there's this sort of lucky piece, but also the willingness to steer into favorable winds, if you know what I mean. I love that story. Thank you very much for that. I also admire your humility in all of that. That's lovely. So the next thing then, I suppose, that I want to get into is some change in the landscape at the moment. And again, this maps to what you were just saying about move where the wind takes you. We all know that AI is a thing. You cannot have missed that. But I think a lot of people are taking nervous steps into their business and how they're doing things with AI, and maybe biting off a little bit here with AI and leaving the rest as it is, and biting off another chunk here and leaving the rest as it is, and slowly moving into AI. You have a very different approach, and I will link in the show notes to a blog post on the RT Camp website, which I read several weeks ago. I've got to say, I was a little bit, not surprised, that's the wrong word, but it was written in such a way that I thought, gosh, now that's interesting. Because in it, you painted the case that RT Camp in the future is going to do AI everywhere. And I know we hear that all the time. You know, we're going to use AI here and we're going to use AI there. You have painted your colours on the mast. And literally, I think you said, if it can be done with AI, it will be done with AI. There will be no stone left unturned. Okay, firstly, why? Why have you got that approach? What's the reason? Now, I'm sure it's fairly obvious, but lay it out for us anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know from where it comes. Anytime I see things going south across industry, like COVID or like AI, like everybody was gloomy, my brain kind of think of opposite. So in my brain, I'm actually imagining an AI-only agency with humans required to probably feel capture. That's how my brain works. So it's like AI first. Then again, like WordPress. So I've been lucky more than once in my life. So before this AI came, this famous thing by Steve Jobs, like you can only connect the dots looking backward. 3 to 4 years ago, riding on the digital boom, we survived the COVID. Like all agencies grew, RT Camp grew a lot more and a lot faster in very short span of time. And to manage this humongous workforce, we needed to refactor a lot internal tooling, softwares, processes, to the point that we have internally codified our mission that we want to build McDonald's of consulting business, inspired by that movie Founder. That was also part of my talk at WordCamp Asia. And in fact, I had somebody to literally compliment this example. I know we want to build this, but I don't have that kind of mental model. So that's the brief I gave to our chief delivery officer, that you have to give me this McDonald's of agency business. We start thinking of every process that we can repeat, and we realize that we need to take control of our software stack. And we ended up finding something in open source that's, I would say, truly spiritually aligned to the WordPress ecosystem called PrivePay Alpinex, which handle our accounting, payroll, project management, CRM, so many business processes in one single source of truth, like single source of truth for so many things. Earlier, it was all siloed data. So this was started with a different intent, to scale RT Camp to 1,000 people, 5,000 people, 10,000 people, because that was the business model then. Agencies grows with capacity. You want to sell more, you need to hire more. Basically, agency's growth was limited by, on one dimension, the inventory, human inventory you can have. So we started implementing this open source back office software automation with the idea that we will own central piece of our operating system of connecting, getting thousands of people working together. Then AI happened, and then we realized we don't need to hire those many people anymore. Year on year, we moved from 200 to 250, but I think next 50 will be very slow because now we are no longer aiming to sell hours or hire people. But as luck would have been, we ended up creating this system of record, which is unified and clean. When we think of a client or a project or a human, all aspect of their metadata is available in a single system. So that is why we can leverage AI more than a company, agency to agency. If an agency is using, say, Jira for project management, QuickBooks for accounting, some other software, if their operations is scattered across 6-7 software, we have leverage over them. Not only we are paying very less because all our software is open source, the data is first party, like sitting duck place to query in any way we can. We are not limited by SaaS providers, enterprise plan, or there's AI capability. So that is where we realize that we can take this huge bet on AI, where we can now build a lot more in a lot less time using AI across the board. And if you look at a business, like not just WordPress business, when you buy something, like you buy a car from a car company, you're actually paying for everything that company does. Advertising, researching on the EV technologies, hiring a brand ambassador to put billboard, sponsoring F1, anything that company does, every penny they spend on their business, the customer ends up paying it. So we thought, like, now we have a single stack, which technically takes care of 70 to 80% critical nature of our business operations, from when the lead enters the CRM, the project management, time entry, people's new management, everything is linked. Everything is beautifully linked in a single unified interface and database. So why not we just use AI to cut down the cost? Because now we cannot charge by hours. We can try, but it's not making sense anymore for clients. They want us to commit to a fixed output bid. Now, when we say, hey, we can migrate this thing for $100,000 or we can build this website for $500,000. So those numbers traditionally, and actually all the time, will include all the operation costs, like my salary. I'm not doing any coding work, but my salary will be eventually paid by all the clients. Electricity bill, that is also going to be paid by all the clients. So we thought, like, rather than just thinking AI to build a website, let's use AI to bring our operational costs dramatically down. Because we have single source of truth for maximum data we have. And that is where we went all AI in. Now it's like we can submit a proposal in like 1/3 of the time. In old days, we used to build PPTs. Now we wipe code a WordPress demo site and attach it to the proposal. Hey, is this something that you want? Not just the screenshot, not just the Figma. Like, we are actually building playground-like websites and launching them and sharing those links to the client. Go play with it. We are even trying to copy their design systems if they are migrating. So migration is a big category of work we do. So that is what we mean by going AI ready. So we are leveraging AI to reduce the cost of sale, increase probability of winning the project by pitching them something. And then while estimating the effort, like let's say we would traditionally say, oh, this might cost us 1,000 hours. Now we blindly say, make it 30% less. Assume it will be done in 700 hours, and it will be. Sometimes it backfires, but then on some project it will be 500 hours, in some project it will be 900 hours, but average will come back to 700 hours. Then again, the idea is we have a central operating system which gives us like bird's eye view of how healthy our project's execution are. Are we getting returns on our AI investment? So all this is possible because a few years back we took a bet in different direction. Like, we chose WordPress because we wanted to be a better media agency than that was media agencies were doing in early days. But we ended up building an agency business with the WordPress. Likewise, we chose this FAP ERP Next software to operationalize our back office. But now it is turning out to be our advantage point in this AI race. Like, we are able to do AI a lot more. In the end, it's all about bringing the cost down at certain quality. You have to keep the quality up and just make it more affordable. If that is not, as a business, you cannot do that with AI, then something is wrong. So AI is not about building something new. I have another approach. So if you're an agency, people are hiring you to move things from A to B. Like, you are the movers and packers of internet. I put crudely what RTKM does. We move things. Like a shipping company who moves your house, we move you from site code to WordPress. And that's still a big part of our business. We don't have to reinvent or reimagine different experiences all the time. Sometimes we have to just do what everybody is doing, the boring part. Put AI there to make it efficient, more cost effective. And if you do that, that means more people wanting to shift to new house. Again, a different approach. People think that they need to build something out of the world to benefit from this AI wave. My idea is that pick a boring thing and make it so affordable that people who were sitting on the fence, just imagine travel. Middle East travel, like, this is a very, actually, very bad example, might sound inhuman, but say, like, X number of people wanted to experience Dubai as a destination, but let's say it was beyond their budget. For some, even unfortunate reason, now suddenly that comes within their budget, they will be able to do that. People wanted to move to WordPress. Initially, agencies were quoting $100,000 for that big shift. Now, if you can, suddenly you can do it in 50K, a lot more people will shift. So you don't have to do things like out of the world things. You don't have to invent new. You have to sometimes just make existing problem more efficient to solve. And it was not always about money, especially in large client. It was not always about 100K versus 50K versus 500,000 versus 1,000,000. It was about timeline. It's like you are refurbishing your home and it's going to take 3 months. Then it's a different mental model, like to put up yourself in a hotel or a second home for 3 months. If magically a new company appears and says, hey, we can refurbish your home overnight, you don't mind checking into a hotel for one night. And that is where I feel like this WordPress will be net gainer because of AI. Agencies has to be optimistic and think differently to gain from AI. Like, what people are doing is everybody's trying to act like a ChatGPT, I mean, the OpenAI. It's their job to invent AI algorithm. We are an agency. Our job is to apply AI, not invent AI. We don't have to think of what is Opus 4.8 will do. Let cloud engineers think of that. So we need to understand we are AI's consumers or consultant. And that is where some people are getting it wrong by vibe coding things that they're not able to sell to anyone. Then they will cry that, hey, 6 months later, they will realize they built stuff nobody bought. Now they don't have money to pay AI bills or their developer salaries. And then they will cry that, hey, AI took our job, AI killed our business. No. Think what existing problems you can solve with AI cheaply, efficiently, with better quality. And a lot of work is there to be done.
There's a lot in there. But one of the things that I'm taking out is, so prior to AI coming along and demonstrating to us all what it could do, which, by the way, didn't kind of happen overnight, although it feels like it did, there was a sort of a year in which we could suddenly see, oh boy, it's getting much more performant and much more interesting. But prior to that, it sounds like post-COVID, you kind of inspected your business and were thinking, okay, how can we refine everything that we've got in the business and how can we put it all into this one system? And again, with the benefit of hindsight, and I'm maybe going to use the word luck, maybe that's not the right word, you having done that work then meant that when AI did come along, you weren't trying to link up 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 different things. You had this one source of truth, which meant that you could cut waste, for want of a better word. You know, waste could be measured in terms of dollars, or it could be measured in terms of time, or whatever it may be. You happened to be in that place because you'd done that preparatory work, not necessarily knowing that AI was going to come along and make all of this fun stuff possible. But with the benefit of hindsight, that's exactly what it did. And it's curious, you said 70 or 80% of the business could be streamlined in that way. And I'm so staggered by that number. I thought you'd be in the kind of, I don't know, 20, 30% or something like that, but a full 70 to 80%. So does that mean 70 to 80% of the things available? Or do you mean that you were able to cut 70 to 80% of the cost or the time? Because I wasn't sure which 70 or 80% you were meaning.
It means different things. First, like, as I mentioned, that we're not thinking AI as just something to sell, but something to consume first. Because, again, dog food in principle, we managed to sell WordPress better because we were a blog network. That's why we could understood publishers better. We got into this ERP Next consulting because we built our backend with it. Now, before we make any promise with AI, we have to be net gainer with the AI. And we believe that our internally, we will be... So there are two parts. Actual cost of building something and the meta cost, like cost of sale, like the writing proposal, marketing cost, like case studies, going to even preparing for articles. Non-build cost is definitely we are able to bring... I would say it's already half, but it will be further down. I will give you a very simple example. Like in early days, when somebody used to submit RTKM's form, inquiry form, a human would manually check, like, hey, what is the domain name of this email ID? Are they on LinkedIn? Some 30 minutes, and then they will write a note. Hey, this looks like a good quality lead. We are fortunate that we get a lot of inbound inquiries, so we had to have prioritized, like, which leads we are going to respond first. Now, as soon as somebody submits a form, an AI integration does that within minutes, and the notes are much more details. It creates action items across like WordPress, our Frappe CRM, our Slack, everything runs like a clockwork, and we don't need a human. So that junior human job is definitely gone. So in sales team, we used to have like this entry-level job that is no longer there. Some jobs are actually going to get vanished. So now going on a call, meeting notes, a lot of those things are getting automated. So the cost of sale has dramatically came down. What is the effect? Like, say, we can now assume flat 10% discount compared to earlier pricing when we are thinking of a migration project. Like, let's say, in early days, we used to think like, hey, anybody wanting to migrate from Adobe Experience Manager, we must assume that they need to pay us 100K. On the initial call, we can say, hey, that would probably cost something like minimum 50,000. Rather, the minimums, the starting numbers has came down because we need less energy to have those pre-sales conversations, less number of minutes or hours spent building those demos, very fast discovery, data mapping sometimes happens in minutes. In fact, we did a one Zendesk to Frappe Helpdesk migration literally in 5 days. That was unthinkable. And that included data migration, QA testing, like automation testing, where somebody built a bot in Padlet which would randomly open a Zendesk ticket and verify that all metadata and replies are migrated into new Helpdesk system, all within 5 days. This is where I have been saying that the cost of building custom solutions will fall like so low, like it's like 60, 70, 50, like definitely more than half, it will be reduced by half. More people will buy custom solutions. So agencies are going to grow from here. Just this 1 or 2 years, because agencies, to price something upfront, we need consistency. It's like I'm running an airline, and if my jet fuel is my biggest cost and that is out of my control, then how do I price my tickets? That's AI hallucination, which is, I would say, the jet fuel version of aviation industry. Something happens in Middle East and fuel prices goes up. A war starts. So now when AI hallucinate, so it's like what we are internally tracking, or what we call as a KPI or internal metric, is that worst case AI gains, that's already 20%. Best case is more than 90%. In some cases, it's literally 90%. This range will keep compressing, and that's when I think 70% is my expectation in 2 years. We will have that maturity that the build time will fall by 70%. That means the client companies will hire more agencies to do more work. WordPress will emerge as a winner, not only for its ecosystem, but its ability to expose structured data without any proprietary walls. AI evolves so fast that only an open source can keep up with it. In fact, we are seeing more migration inquiries with the AI boom.
Oh, interesting. I was going to ask a sort of follow-up question. Do you think that you... So you were mentioning how to describe it. A rising tide carries all boats, or you certainly implied that the pie is getting bigger, if you know what I mean. So you're getting more phone calls, more migrations, more work, and you can obviously do that more affordably. And because you can pass on some of those savings to the clients, the price point lowers, and so you get more inquiries because there's this virtuous cycle of price going down, but quality staying the same or getting better. I wonder if you, given your success in the past, I wonder if that transition will be easier for you because the phone is already ringing than it would be for somebody who was beginning in 2026. Because we all know when you begin, getting the phone to ring is probably the hardest thing. You know, getting those first 5, 10, 15 reliable clients, whatever it is that makes you work. I wonder if you're in a uniquely good position, having a history of clients, a roster of clients that will come back to you, and also just being famous, for want of a better word, in the WordPress space for doing the kind of things that you do. I wonder just what your thoughts are on that.
There are both pros and cons. The only con for RTKM is that our business model, a big part of what's traditional, like selling our flagship revenue stream for last 8 to 10 years was staffing solutions. We used to provide engineers, sometimes to other agencies, sometimes to publishers. So usually they used to have the leadership layer with them. We were more of executors. And if AI, within the IT industry, the first casualty of AI evolution was that people who code, or people who can only code but cannot think. But luckily, our hiring was very different. While it is taking time, as I said, net headcount addition has been slowed down. I think this is probably first time RTKM's career side doesn't have any engineering opening. If we would have been like a publicly listed or like a shareholder-owned company, we might have got mandate to fire 100 people right now, because we have already gained by so much that our 1/3 of our WordPress engineers are currently out of work when the work is rising. Because traditionally, when we needed 8 people, we are able to do it in 4 people. But now we are using this. We have our own challenges going from one kind of business to another kind of business model. The switch is causing some friction, but we are communicating it openly. We are giving people like more freedom. You give us ideas like which part of the entire business equation you can optimize. Is it editorial experience? Is it migration cost? Is it data mapping, visual testing? So people are constantly building. So change is there. Change is scary. It is scary for us also, because we don't want to fire people. We don't want to lay off people. We want to retain this team. From here onwards, we don't see we are hiring more engineers for at least a year, because we have enough of them. But we are so optimistic about this WordPress growth and the pie getting bigger. We are hiring more sales and marketing team. 2 days back, I was telling, like, traditionally, we had this 90 to 10% ratio. Like in 200 people headcount team, we would have 20 people that would be, we can call as a sales and marketing department. I think next 50 hires will be only sales and marketing.
Oh, that's a big skew, isn't it? So you'll go to more like 30% marketing as opposed to 10% marketing.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sales and marketing. By the way, when we say sales in RTKM means slightly different. It's more of a initial consulting, basically making those solid promise which can be backed by engineering, not over promising. So our sales team are more like a WordPress consultant. In fact, we have a category within RTKM which we call growth engineers, who are some of our best coders. But rather than writing code, they go on the first client call and make promises on behalf of WordPress which are practical, feasible and real. That is what our internship looked like, because coding is race to bottom. Eventually, the cost of building will shrink to the point that you won't need many traditional developers in any agency. You will need people who can imagine what needs to be built. There might be 20 different ways and which way this project should be executed. That prompt engineering, context engineering. So the value is shifting. And it's definitely shifting away from people who can only code. That is why probably from 2 years now, we might be at 300 people. 100 of them will not be coding at all. But they will be prompting AI. They will be building vibe coded prototype in pre-sales stage to gain that customer confidence, like early on that day. What you want is possible with the WordPress. It won't cost that much. It will be given you fast enough that your life won't be disrupted for many months, like your business operations won't be disrupted for many months. So this is a thing.
Yeah, nobody could deny that we're in interesting times. I think a lot of people are very confused by what's going on at the moment. You know, they're trying to figure out a path. They're trying to figure out how it affects their business. They're probably, in I would imagine quite a lot of cases, quite keen to stick to the ways that they've done it in the past. But certainly the picture that you've painted over at RT Camp is that you're aligning yourself with a very different future, kind of embracing AI, seeing where it can take you, trying to adapt your business, being optimistic about it rather than pessimistic, because I think there is quite a lot of pessimism around there at the moment, but seeing the opportunity and seizing it, absolutely fascinating. There was so much to unpack there. I feel like we could talk probably for another 9 hours about this, because it genuinely is never ending. I would love to prise back the curtain a little bit more. However, time allows only this much. So what an interesting conversation. Thank you very much, Rahul. Just before we end, could you just tell us where we can find you online should somebody want to, you know, maybe they're experiencing a bit of anxiety of their own, their agency is in a rudderless ship at the moment and they're trying to figure it out. Where can people get in touch with you best?
I am actually available on all social networks. I use LinkedIn list and email is most reliable way, and we don't go there. But yeah, Peter, I checked any.
I will link to your bio in the show notes, but also I will link to the presentation that you gave and any other bits and pieces that we discussed that I can find links for. I will mention those as well. So head to wptavern.com, search for the episode with Rahul in it. Thank you so much for chatting to me. And all I can say is all the best. I hope that all of the intuitions that you have turn out to bear fruit and be fruitful for you. Thank you so much for chatting to me today.
Thank you, Adam.